Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from Exodus 34, 29 to 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, and as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin on his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked to them. Afterwards, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him at Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the people of Israel all that was commanded. The people of Israel would see the faces of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. Two guys were locked up, decided one night that they were sick of being there and they were going to escape. They make their way to the roof, and just across this tiny gap on the rooftop was a town glowing in the moonlight, freedom. The first guy jumps across, but his pal was afraid of falling. First guy said, "Hey, I got an idea. I got my flashlight. I'll shine a light across the gap in the buildings. You can walk across the beam and we can both be free." The second guy said, "What do you think I am, dumb? You turn the light halfway off when I'm halfway across." That one took a little while. In this story, not the brightest bulbs. And today, Transfiguration Sunday, is a day to talk about light, light bulbs glowing, shining. Usually when we talk about transfiguration, we're referring to the scripture in the New Testament about Jesus going up to the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and they see his appearance change. Gradually from the inside of his total appearance was transfigured, and there was a brilliant glory of God. But today I want to concentrate on this story from the Hebrew scriptures. In Exodus 34, Moses went up to the mountain, to Mount Sinai, for a second time. You recall when Moses brought the first two stone tablets down with the Ten Commandments written on them, the people, right, had made the golden calf and they were partying it up. And in Exodus 32:19, he saw the people worshiping the calf. And if you like Mel Brooks in the history of the world, you know, I have the 15, I have the Ten Commandments. But in the scripture, Moses threw the tablets down, smashing them to pieces. And it's actually, if you like the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, is a great scene where he's talking to them and he throws the two tablets and the thing catches on fire. It's pretty fancy for the time. And if you haven't seen it, you can Google just that scene, but not right now. And at the beginning of 34, God told him to get two more tablets, come back up to the mountain, and he would write all the Ten Commandments again. And today's scripture takes place on that second trip from the mountain where he spent another 40 days just basking in the presence of God. So what I want to focus in on today is this idea of the glow. Because when Moses came down with the tablets, he wasn't even aware the radiant, you know, his face was radiating because of what he had been with God. He had a shine on his face that wouldn't quit, but he didn't know. And like we talked about with the kids, you know, sometimes we don't even know when we're glowing. When people saw him, they were afraid to come near him. He was radioactive, and they kind of stepped back. If you like the TV show Friends, there's a great episode with Ross. He's going on a date, and he wants his teeth to be extra white. So he leaves the stuff on his teeth for too long, and they turn off the lights, and his teeth are glowing. And the girl on the date's like, "This guy," and she kind of like this. In the same scripture, like they're stepping back because they're uncomfortable around Moses because of this shine. They don't understand what's going on. And we can understand that a bit, right? When we have good friends, but when people, maybe they share awesome things are happening for them and you look around, you realize we kind of step back too, right? It's like almost too, like, "I'm glad that's for you, but it's a little too much. It's too exciting. You know, it's exciting for you, but it's too much for me to kind of be around." And after Moses calmed everyone down and gave them the commandments, He downplayed the radiant glow. He didn't want them to focus on that, but he wanted them to focus on what God had to say to them. But it was hard for them to ignore. If he made a big deal out of his glowing face, he might have gone up to Aaron and said, you know, you need a little help to see at night because I'm glowing. But he didn't do that, right? He didn't focus in on himself. He wanted to point it back to God. He even put a veil over his face so that the focus wouldn't be on him. It would be back to who God was. He wanted them to focus on God and not the glow. And sometimes when God does spectacular things for us, we tend to focus on the experience then rather than God who did it for us. Sometimes it causes us to lose focus and we think maybe too much of ourselves and less of God. What could be a mysterious, you know, what could this event on this mountaintop long ago have to speak to us? Because it reminds us of so much that's important. What's on your face, right? Parents, grandparents, kids come up and they have chocolate all over their face and you say, you don't have to be a great detective to say, did you eat the last cupcake? And be like, how do you know? And it'd be like, because your face is covered in chocolate. But when you stop to think about it, a look on our face also tells tales. Sometimes our, you know, people can read our faces like a book. They can tell when we're doing well. They can tell when we're not doing so well. We do it without even being intentional about it. It's just the inner stuff kind of flowing outward. It's like a teenager with parents and a girl comes home and it's like, okay, what's that person's name? You know, who are you? Like, why, you know, you know that glow, that face. So the expressions tell a lot. And Moses' shine revealed something about him. He had just been in the presence of God. The being with the divine had rubbed off on him. There was something about God and being with God that inspired and fused Moses with a glow that was unignorable or not able to be ignored. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not sure I can conjugate that one. Sometimes our expressions reveal things that we don't want to reveal either, right? Maybe we're having a rough day and we don't want people to know about it, or we sometimes get irritated, right? And people can tell. Sometimes we're pretty good most of the time, but other times people can be like, you can tell that people are, you know, you can tell you're irritated. It just comes out. So we need to ponder, what does our face communicate about our faith? Moses' face communicated a lot about his faith. He had just been with God. Moses was completely oblivious to the look on his face, and so are we. Like I said, sometimes the good or bad, whatever happens, is on the inside and it finds its way out. But Moses wasn't trying to put on a religious, pious face. He wasn't trying to look holy. The genuine shine was there because he had spent time with God. It just rubbed off. And we in our life of faith need to get the glow. We need to have that same experience. And how do we do that? We just spend time in the presence of God and just being there. So we need to be intentional about it. And we go and we get all glowed up. And then we go out and we live our glow. We're standing at the doorway of the season of Lent. Lent is about changing. It's about the time when the early church, you know, was taking in new members. And so at the, you know, Lent was kind of the season to get ready for when they joined the church on Easter. The time of change to get them ready for their baptism as they join the faith. So are we allowing God's Spirit more freedom to do these changes, affect changes in our lives? How can we experience this shine, that look that comes to us when we spend time with God? And we know all the things we've talked about before. We know all the different things that we do in our life that help us feel connected to God, right? It might be, you know, might be the lake, or it might be with people. It might be, you know, being proud of our heritage, you know, as like us, you know, me being a Scottish person, or, you know, from Scottish descent, or the different things that we're all part of are all ways in which we kind of spend time in the presence of God. You know, it's all different kinds of things. It's reading the scriptures. It's spending time listening to music that reminds us of who God is. It's all these different, we don't really need too much help in terms of finding the ways that we connect with God or finding God's presence, because God is everywhere. So we know what we do, where we go, all those different kinds of things. And for Moses and Jesus in that story, they go up to a mountain, right? Because what does a mountain do? Not Mountain Dew. Well, that's like a Freudian slip there. Everybody knows me. What does a mountain do? When you go to the top of a mountain, it's beautiful, right? But what does it do? It reminds you of what? How big the world is, right? That's the reason why the mountain is such a powerful experience. And that's why those things happen there. You go up there and you say, wow, like, look down. I can, you know, you look, you can see that building that's so big when I'm next to it is so small. And so it's that. That experience is what reminds us of who God is. And that's where it kind of comes from. But we have to be committed to following God enough to work out and find these glow experiences in our life. And it's, you know, sometimes it's hard and it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's painful, you know, and sometimes it's God is like, oh, it's a little, maybe too much. Maybe God, that's a little too much that you're asking me. But Jesus and Moses both go up to the mountains, not for themselves, but for others, to help Israel, to help the apostles. Moses was in the presence of God because of the Israelites messing up on the first time. The biggest thing is the reason isn't we don't seek the experience to glow for ourselves, but we just seek more and more of God. And then we can't help but reflect that light. Like we talked about, we are the moons that reflect the love light of God to the world in the darkness. It's like glow sticks or glow things where you have glow-in-the-dark stickers. And what do you have to do? You can't just take the glow-in-the-dark stickers and put them up on your wall. You have to put them in the light first so that they get recharged, and then they can glow. And if you haven't done that, go to the dollar store and buy some stickers. They just wanted to be in the presence of God, Jesus, Moses, and be with the divine. And all of that being recharged, they soaked up the light of God by being in the presence. But they didn't stay on the mountain. Remember Peter in the story, he wanted to. He was like, we'll build a tent and we can all just stay here in God's presence. It's going to be great. And Jesus is like, no, we got to go back down the mountain, back into the fray. We bring the glow of God and we need to go into the darkness with that glow. We can't glow in the presence of God. Every time Moses in this story goes into the presence of God, he lifts the veil because it's like God's outglowing him. And then he puts the veil out and he goes back out. And so we never will outglow God. But we need that glow when we go out into the world. Because maybe that glow will inspire people. Maybe it's a smile or any of those kind of things where people are going through a hard situation. You know, it may even be the things that make a difference for that person in that day. Maybe it's the worst day for that person and they just seeing you and your glow is something that's saying, oh, maybe it's worth it. Maybe this life is, you know, maybe I'm questioning all these different things, but I see this person, I say, there's got to be more, and it's a reflection of that. It's not that we're more, but who's more? God, right? God is more. Most of the time, like I said, we don't even know what's happening. There's a great story. It was a cold, bitter evening in Northern Virginia many years ago, and this old man's beard was glazed with the winter frost while he waited to ride across the river. His body was getting numb. He heard the hooves of horses galloping along the frozen pathway. And he waited as several people kind of rounded the bend. And he let them pass without an effort to get their attention, you know. And then then another went by and another one went by. And finally, the last rider neared the spot where the old man was. He was almost kind of becoming a frozen statue. And the old man caught the rider's eye. And the old man said, sir, would you mind giving an old man a ride to the other side? And there doesn't seem to be a pathway any other way. And the rider said, sure. Seeing the old man was able to lift his half-frozen body off the ground, he helped the old man onto his horse. And he took him, not just across the river, but to his destination, which was miles away. And as they got near the cottage, the horseman's curiosity got the best of him. And he said, I noticed you let a lot of other riders kind of go by and you didn't ask them for anything. You know, why did you refuse them, but you asked me? And the old man looked at the rider and said, I've been around here for a long time. I know people pretty well. And I look at the eyes of the riders, and immediately I saw that no one was concerned about my situation. And it would have been useless even to ask them because they wouldn't have stopped. And, you know, but he said, I looked into your eyes and I saw kindness. I saw compassion. It was just very clear. I knew that you were a gentle spirit and you'd give me the help that I needed. Those heartwarming comments touched the horseman deeply. He said, I'm grateful for what you said, and may I never get too busy in my own affairs and fail to respond to the needs of others with kindness and compassion. And with that, Thomas Jefferson turned his horse around and made his way back to the White House. I think he's got the glow, right? He's got that glow. The person looked at him and said, oh, this is somebody who's going to help me. I know the other looks, but he's like, I know the glow when I see it. I want to close with the verse from 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. But the Message translation, I think, is so clear. He said, and so we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. This is our daily moment-to-moment goal when we seek that. We can't help but glow. So let's find more and more ways this week, going forward, this time of Lent, leading into Easter, find more and more ways to just be with God. And in doing that, let's find the glow and then shine in the world. Amen. Amen.